Hello, and welcome to the Virtual Leftovers Podcast. I'm YouTube Junkie, and I'm here with
Dead Junkies,
Ugster,
and this week we have a special guest,
Mattman.
So, anyways, this has been something kind of interesting. There's been a lot of ups and downs today to get us to this podcast. I'm excited to see where it goes, because it's funny, I brought up this whole idea of a podcast to him a year ago, and said, you know, let me start a podcast here soon, hopefully, and I want to try and get guests to come in, and he was one of the first people to actually agree to it, and now here we are.
We're finally not there.
Yeah, what the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah, I know, it's tragic, I know. But no, today we're going to be talking about a few different topics, going from Transformers, Power Rangers, Marvel, a little bit of Image Comics. And speaking of Image Comics, there's a retraction I have to make. In the last podcast, I said there were 3 Spawn movies. That was not correct. There was an animated movie based on the animated series. There was 1 live-action movie. And there will be another live-action movie coming out with Jamie Foxx as the lead.
And it's going to be a complete reboot from the... Yeah. Nothing to do with the first movie.
So I have to retract myself on that statement. It was my fault. But there was something that Dead Cookies over here tried to start beef with. And that was in one of the podcasts, I had brought up the fact that they were trying to make Chris Evans' Captain America Nomad. And Connor misunderstood what Mattman over here was saying.
And I thought, to me, it sounded like you were calling him Nomac or Novak or something weird like that. And I'm like, no, I need to slap you.
But no, I was saying right, he just misunderstood. And then Connor twisted around and was saying that...
Dead Cookies just really wanted to see a fan war.
Yeah, and so like he started...
Nerd fight.
Yeah!
Get your lightsabers!
He told me that Mattman over here was saying...
Close enough.
That it was Nomac, and I was like, Novak, and I was like, "There, what? No, it's Nomad." But anyways, yeah, so that was one little bump in the road. Then there was some more bumps in the road. Doesn't really matter now. We're here. But before the podcast gets going all that much, there's something I want to talk about. For the few people that are watching, I do have an important little thing to talk about, and that's...
Watching or listening?
Watching? I didn't know we
were listening. Sorry, I'm
making a video.
Okay, for the few people,
they're watching the minutes count away.
I definitely better wear a bat now.
All right. So for the few people listening to the podcast, I want to bring up something important, and that is the changing demographic of YouTube at the moment, and with this whole PewDiePie versus T-Series situation. Now, I'm not a fan of PewDiePie, but I am subscribed to him for the simple fact that he is a YouTuber. And right now, it is either him or some media company. And if a media company takes over YouTube, that's it. Creators won't matter anymore. YouTube will focus on the media companies and focus on the people giving them more money.
And we wouldn't matter with shit.
And so, all I ask is, you know, even if you're not a fan, you can find ways. It's really easy to subscribe to someone and then pretty much make it to where none of their content show up on your page. It's really easy. So even if you don't plan on watching his stuff, even if you don't like him or you don't agree with anything he says, on YouTube, in order for creators to still be relevant, a creator needs to be on the top. So please just subscribe to PewDiePie, even if you don't like him or anything like that. It is important to creators on YouTube that you do this. Thank you. Now we'll get into the podcast. So, one of the things that made me want to bring Mattman over here onto the podcast is he's a big fan of Transformers. And
hell's yeah.
He has.
Now, since 1984, motherfucker.
I don't want to say years of knowledge.
Now, see.
But you would not be wrong.
I know for a fact he's a big fan of the animated show. I've seen tons of it. I've seen him post tons of stuff about it. But I have to ask, what about the Michael Bay movies? What are your thoughts on those?
Have you seen the Bumblebee movie yet?
Mm-hmm. Not the new
that
one.
That is how they fucking should have been done in the first damn place.
Here's
right fucking there.
Bam. Thank you.
I haven't gotten a chance to see it yet, but I've heard a lot of good things.
I mean, there's... I don't know if you saw it. I shared a video edit that somebody made of all of the Cybertronian scenes from Bumblebee. all in a row. Mm-hmm.
So does this mean they're like restarting with Bumblebee?
Yes, it has been confirmed that Bumblebee is the start of an all new.
Okay, that's good. And they're going to do like they're going to lead up to like a big thing or no?
No, Bay is it's done. Period. That's exclamation point. No more.
Okay.
All
right. I mean,
I think he misspoke. I think what he was asking is if they were going to do another franchise with it.
Oh, yeah, they're going to continue on, but starting with Bumblebee, you know, as the starting...
Oh, that's what I meant. I'm like, basically, are they going to build
it's
up
basically it? A reboot of the live-action series.
Okay.
Because, the whole reason why they look like they did in the Michael Bay series of movies was because he thought that making them look like the cartoon and the toys, they wouldn't be realistic. That's why they're basically all just walking piles of knives, extremely fragile looking. And I'm like, what the fuck? If they all were this, you know, looked like that, how is this war supposedly lasting 4 million years?
Bumblebee didn't look like no pile of knives in this
time. No, he actually looked very close to how he did back in the 80s. You know, Prime, Soundwave, Shockwave, the Seeker Jets, you know, fucking Ravage.
Was that Starscream in the movie, or was that Starfire?
You mean Jetfire?
Jetfire.
Ooh. No, Jetfire did not appear in that.
No? So was that Starscream in that one?
On Cybertron, there was Starscream, Skywarp, Thundercracker. Those are the three main ones that I could identify on there. And for some reason, the one that was on Earth that, you know, spoiler alert, got blowed up in the beginning, for some reason they were calling that one, Blitzwing. And in the original G1 Blitzwing was...
Okay.
And the original Blitzwing was a triple changer turned into a jet and a tank. And had no coloration like Starscream like he does in the Bumblebee movie. Mm-hmm. When the image of Blitzwing first leaked, everybody thought that it was going to be Starscream.
Yeah.
Huh.
These do look really good compared
to... They actually look way closer to the cartoon than there was.
Hell yeah.
Way closer? In fact, even
at the end, you know, just before the very end of the movie, when Bumblebee meets back up with Prime, you see them, they're driving across Golden Gate Bridge, and Prime has his original G1 style trailer all right behind him, and he's still... You know, cab over engine semi.
Yep.
No stupid flames.
No,
or anything like that.
Just straight.
And they got rid of that stupid fucking mouth.
Yeah.
And they kept the fucking the faceplate.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
And the Soundwave actually sounded like Soundwave from the original cartoon.
So I have a different history with Transformers. I had never seen the animated series. I didn't even know about any of it until after the Michael Bay movies came out, and like at first, before I heard about all those other ones, before I heard about all the animated show and all that, I thought that the movies were great, and then I actually watched the animated show where it all originated from.
Like, and he's like,
yeah, as much as I loved the original cartoon, you know, especially when I was growing up, I was, you know, 9 freaking years old when it came out. You know, it does, you know, I will admit it doesn't hold up, you know, now,
right?
But for the time, it was, you know, the good, you know, plus, you know, they had the animated movie the first time that you heard shit. And only time you heard it up until the live action movies.
Yeah. I have to disagree with you though. I think that it wouldn't hold up for younger generations. But I think for you know, people who actually watched it whenever they were kids and stuff
forums that I belong that I'm a member of, a lot of them's like, yeah, it was good for the time, but you know, a lot of people, you know, looking back now, it's like you see all the animation errors and everything's like, everything's the same time. Back then, it was a half an hour fucking toy commercial.
It's
still that way now, but there wasn't as much focus on making a continual narrative.
And, you know, it's like animation errors. It's like, yeah, but almost any show, you know, going back at a certain time, you know, all of them had some kind of animation error. Like we were talking about before the podcast began with the original with the original Mighty Morphin movie with that horrible CGI.
That
and whew, all that CGI. Like saying,
But then when we were watching it, it looked so much amazing. It was
perfect.
Yeah.
Wonderful. But then when back they were then, re-watching that was it.
The, you know, the, pretty much the height was, of what they could do, you know, with computer imagery.
But
nowadays.
That's like the old Godzilla movies.
Yeah.
Basically.
Again.
Guy in the rubber suit. And
yeah, basically.
Little fake buildings to go trampling through. I tell you, if you want a really good, you know, comics with Transformers, get IDW's Transformers comics. They started in 2000. Oh shit!
IDW.
They just ended their continuity after their. The continuity that they started back in
I read some of these.
2005, I think.
Yeah, I read some. Yeah,
You know, that ran this continuity for 13 years. In the last couple of years, they branched out and added because they also had other licenses for other Hasbro stuff like G.I. Joe, Jim and the Frickin' Holograms, Mask.
Yeah,
Action Man.
He looked pretty good.
Even the Frickin' Visionaries. Some of the stuff, but they just ended the ended that continuity with the Unicron miniseries.
Okay.
And they are launching an all-new continuity starting next month.
Oh.
But if you can get your hands on some of the old stuff, especially starting with the Phase 2 with Transformers Robots in Disguise and Transformers More Than Meets the Eye. War's over. And Autobots won.
Yeah.
And after... it ended, there's this cataclysmic event which actually ended the war. He made Cybertron habitable again. And when Cybertron healed, it sent out a signal to all the other, to all Cybertronians throughout the galaxy, hey, come on home. It's cool.
Safe. Huh. I won't try to hurt you. And
Starscream, spoiler, ends up becoming the leader of Cybertron.
Okay.
And basically, you know, renounced being a Decepticon and kicked out everybody that had a faction. He's like, hey, renounce your faction or get the hell out of the city.
There's be only neutral one, or leave.
I mean, there was only one habitable area of Cybertron because of this cataclysm, and they're making a city based on in and around Metroplex. And, you know, it was primarily, there was a lot more Nails, as they call them, non-aligned indigenous life forms.
Hmm.
You know, basically civilians, and there's more of them than there were Autobots or Decepticons, and they all didn't want any more Autobots or Decepticons. If you're going to stay, get rid of that faction symbol.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, it just basically details life, and in Robots in Disguise dealt with more of the Cybertron stuff with More Than Meets the Eye. Hot Rod leads a group of Autobots, primarily in can't remember, I don't think there were any Decepticons, but it was primarily Autobots to go out and find the legendary Knights of Cybertron to find Cyber Utopia.
Hmm.
And that was...
that actually sounds rather interesting.
And it was basically a series of misadventures.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this ship that had a special quantum drive, or quantum engine drive, and at the end of the first issue, it looks like it... frickin' explodes.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as everybody on Cybertron is concerned, they blowed up.
Oh my.
But what had happened was some kind of a freak accident ended up causing the ship to quantumly split in two. And they went two different directions. Some people died on the one. Pretty much nobody, you know, there was some, you know, like hull breaches and some people got sucked out or blown out into space or whatever. But anyway, and then, you know, eventually they returned to Cybertron, to stop another world-ending, you know, universe-ending cataclysm.
Yeah.
Megatron realizes, he basically lost the war because the whole war started because he was trying to reform Cybertronian society.
Okay.
Because at the time it was your form dictates what you do in society.
Hmm.
So if you turn into like a drill tank, well, guess what? You're going to go into mining. You know, or, you know, certain other, well, okay, you're a scientist, you're a medic, you know, whatever. You couldn't rise above your station, kind of thing, and
he started writing about it. You're there for life, basically. Okay.
You know, and he started. You know, Megatron started writing these things about, you know, corruption, and stuff like that, and got him in trouble. And eventually, one thing led to another, and he ended up starting the Decepticon movement. And initially, it was to be kind of, you know, not a military kind of thing. It was to try and peacefully make a governmental change. You gonna die over there, Mr. Probably, Cookies?
I'm probably gonna die. My name.
Anyway, and then they started getting violent. And Megatron's like, didn't happen until millions of years later that he's realized. You know what? I fucking lost the war as soon as I ordered that first shot fired, because he wanted to do it by winning, the hearts and minds of his populace, not wiping out, his populace. And so he switches. He becomes an Autobot.
Yeah.
And ends up joining Hot Rod and them when they leave Cybertron to resume the quest to find the Knights of Cybertron and have them judge what his ultimate fate is going to be. And it's just all kinds of kooky shit involved. And they end up getting creating a temporal, an alternate reality. Yeah, it's all kinds of fucked up where the Decepticon movement never happened because Megatron never was created.
Okay.
So there was no civil war, and on the one hand, it was better for the galaxy because, so their war didn't spread out to other planets, but on the other hand, it kind of fucked things up with Cybertronians themselves.
Saving themselves, right?
Because the Functionist Council ended up overthrowing the governing body of the Senate, and they kept in place, your form dictates your function. And if you don't, when they decide that you're, your form no longer, your function is no longer needed, you become obsolete. Boom, you're
terminated.
Gone. Yeah.
That's all right. Harsh right there.
So, but yeah, like I said, it's actually pretty fucking good.
Sounds like it. In a not so smooth transition due to the galaxies and the good versus evil, Star Wars is where I want to take this conversation next.
I do have one more thing to drop with Transformers. If you're a fan of Transformers and of the Ghostbusters, coming out later this year, there's going to be Ectotron.
I saw that, yeah. That was an interesting thing.
Really?
Ecto-1 that transforms into an original character that looks like one of the Ghostbusters, or that looks like a Ghostbuster, kind of.
You've
got a proton pack, the goggles and everything, and his name is Ectotron.
That's awesome.
And
I saw you.
I don't know if I can say the name of the location that's going to be exclusive to on the podcast, but it's a store, and its name rhymes with train hop. The only problem I have with it is it's $50.
Yeah.
For a toy that's roughly the size of one that you get at Walmart for $20.
But
it's, I'd like to get it for my wife, and I even showed it to her. And she was all for it until we saw the price tag. And she's like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's like, I want to get it for you, but I just can't justify that price. I couldn't even justify it if I was buying it for me. But anyway, I thought you guys might be interested in that. If you guys like Ghostbusters and shit.
Oh, yeah.
There's also going to be a 5-issue miniseries coming from IDW.
Oh, nice.
About it, too. IDW's Ghostbuster Transformers crossover. Detailing the origin of Ectotron.
Nice.
Or something.
Interesting.
Yeah, that...
I wonder if our local game store would be able to...
Okay. But,
yeah.
He looks pretty cool.
But, anyways, for my not-so-smooth transition, yeah, I saw it.
Okay.
Star Wars.
There's some differing opinions in this household on
A long time ago. Very far away.
In a galaxy, not that far away.
Futuristic, yet in the past.
So I'm very much in the original trilogy. They're the best. I can't stand the prequels all that well. I'll watch them because they are Star Wars movies, and I will watch all of them.
So I think the biggest issue I have with the prequels is George Lucas directed them. that and Natalie Portman, I cannot stand
her.
Thor and Thor the Dark World.
I'm annoyed with her.
Bad acting.
Just very bad acting.
Bad acting.
Yeah. Because I've seen Hayden Christensen, Anakin. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen him in other stuff, and he's
great actor.
You
know, he's not that bad.
He's a good actor. It's just that was George Lucas's direction made every. I mean, even Sam Jackson. I was like, oh.
And the only, could, you know, make
in my personal opinion, I think Mace Windu is the only thing that I enjoyed about the.
I liked watching him do the fighting. You know, that was fucking hell of kick ass.
He was still in his. He was still in the early bits of his career too. So,
but I mean,
ish.
Well, the funny thing is, I just watched. You know, I'd seen. I can't remember. Was it Phantom Menace? And then later, when Deep Blue Sea came out, and he gets eaten by the fucking shark. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Really? But that and Lucas, I think, needed other people not only to direct at least the second two of the prequels, but also have other people write the fucking scripts.
Yeah. Well, from what I've been told.
Because you basically redo how the original, the process for the original trilogy went, redo that with the prequel trilogy. Yeah. And I think it would have turned out a lot better.
Absolutely. And part of the thing is, like, the original trilogy, he took a lot of notes from his wife. And a lot of the notes that she took were a lot of the notes that he took from his wife were things that most people enjoyed. But then in the prequels, he stopped taking notes from her because he got kind of into his own ego about it. And I think if he had actually listened to his wife again, we would have gotten some better prequels.
Or decided to not be a complete control freak.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I don't. It's not that I don't enjoy the new
ones
trilogy. It's just it's stale to me. It's not like it's all this new
Force
CGI.
Awakens was a rehash, basically, of A New Hope, and like I think
I didn't really want
it. I don't know if it was their intent or not, but The Last Jedi was, you know, kind of like a slight rehash of Empire, but not anywhere as good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that whole casino planet thing, that really?
Yeah.
That was kind of stupid. And then the slow, you know, slow speed space chase.
So here's the thing, is like, with both the prequels and the original trilogy, like, I was able to powerhouse through all three of the movies. The original trilogy was easy, the prequels were a little harder, but I found myself almost falling asleep throughout this latest trilogy. It's like, I can't, it's just not there anymore. It's like,
yeah, it's...
They've got all this new CGI, all this new stuff that they could be doing. No, they're just not doing anything.
What I was hoping for, especially considering, you know, how old Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, and, you know, rest your soul, Carrie Fisher were getting, you know, and I know this new trilogy is supposed to be kind of a passing of the torch kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's supposedly going to be, you know, supposed to be the final three stories of the Skywalker family, period.
Okay.
Supposedly. We'll see.
We don't know.
But anyway, I was really hoping that at least for episode 7, that we could have got like a one last hurrah of all of the original trilogy characters on screen at once.
Yeah,
you know, just have them all one last adventure. Start killing them off, you know, if you have to start killing them off. Let them have one last adventure and start, you know, kill off one or two if you have to.
Yeah.
In that one, and then, you know, slowly weed your way through the rest. Ironically now... The two characters that they did kill off, their actors are still alive. The one that they left didn't kill off, her actress has passed.
Yeah.
Good for you, Star Wars.
I was very disappointed, because, like, in the comic books, Luke Skywalker is the most powerful gray Jedi in all of existence. He is one of the most powerful Force users in all of existence. And in the movies...
Yeah.
And it was just so disappointing, because, like...
You know, even Mark Hamill's like... This isn't Luke.
Yeah, it's terrible.
What the hell is this?
Yeah.
This guy calls himself Luke, but it's not him.
Yeah, right?
I'm so disappointed with it. That,
Henry Hermit?
He's just a guy who found a body.
So it's like they I mean, they still enjoy watching the new trilogy. But I just can't get into it.
Yeah. I tell you what, I think they did a good job on Rogue One and Solo, honestly.
I haven't had a chance to watch either of them. I've heard a lot of good things,
Solo
at least about...
Good.
Yeah, Solo was a great one.
I've heard a lot of good things, but I've also heard a lot of bad things.
You know, I like both movies. Yeah, they do have their kind of points.
Yeah.
But my ultimate favorite part of Rogue One is at the end, when Darth Vader shows up.
Yeah.
And he's just a fucking total badass, just going wading through those rebel troops. I really would love to see a Darth Vader Star Wars story.
There are rumors of something being in the works.
And it frustrates me that, you know, we see him, you know, a few hours before he fights Obi-Wan in their final duel on the Death Star, just wading through these troopers, just kicking their ass, you know, force powers everywhere, swinging, you know, swinging wildly. Mm. And then in A New Hope, we see him, they're just, you know, ding, ding.
And there's reason, obviously there's reason for that. Like the equipment they were using, it was fragile, so they couldn't just start whacking each other.
You know, the weight of the original lightsabers were designed back then. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were lights.
Spinning rod kind of thing.
And they were like LEDs on a spinning rod.
You know, and you can see, if you look closely in some scenes, you can see the power cord going from Alec Guinness's lightsaber handle up his sleeve.
You know what I love? You know what I loved about that though is they took that being able to be seen, and they put that into the
old school comics.
Into the comic books where it's like
back in the
some of the
early days,
but like one of Obi-Wan's favorite kind of
where they had power packs on their belts.
Exactly,
the Tales of the Jedi.
So that was a nice little thing where they took something that was, you know, an oops in the movie. And fixed it, you know? That was... I love that.
Got you, suckers.
But, yeah, no, I love Star Wars. It's great. It's, you know, it's awesome. Fantastic. But, I don't know, it's just this... It's starting to feel more and more like a cash grab most of the time.
Yeah.
Like, it starts feeling a genuine story. And
if
just kinda,
you can see the Rebels cartoon... Check that one out too.
I've heard a lot of good things.
I love that. Wife, she didn't care for the Clone Wars cartoon, and after a while, I kind of got mid with it. But I still watched it from time to time.
It's a good one.
And in fact, I now have a viewing order to watch all the freaking episodes and the movie in the correct, you know, in story order instead of release order.
Hmm.
Haven't done that yet.
Have fun doing that.
But they're coming back for another season, I guess, on Disney's upcoming
Disney Plus
service.
I've got a bone to pick with Disney Plus. Oh,
anyway,
Rebels one more time.
We'll get our,
you know, like with Rebels, they use a lot of the freaking Macquarie concept art. In fact, the droid chopper is slightly based on his concept for R2-D2. You know, and a lot of the like some of the stormtrooper uniforms and their vehicle stuff, concept art.
Yeah.
Zeb, he was based on a design that they were going to use for Chewbacca.
Huh, really?
For a concept for Chewbacca, yeah. Only Zeb, they shaved him.
I never thought.
For
never
Zeb,
that.
They shaved him.
Yeah.
I see. Here. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, I see it now.
I can see some
Chewbacca's uncle.
I don't know, search for Chewbacca concept art.
Oh, missing it. See. Concept art and... Oh, yeah.
See?
Oh, my God.
That's very much what...
See, right there. They shamed him.
Yeah, basically.
That is very much...
But yeah, you know. But my wife, she loves the cartoon. And
oh,
in fact, there's
Jesus.
There's a call out to Rebels in Rogue One.
Oh yeah.
In fact, there's three Easter eggs for it. One is you can see Chopper rolling through Yavin Base at one point in the main hangar. Two, on the PA system, they call for General Syndulla. And then the third one is when the fleet arrives at Scarif, the ship the Ghost is in is one of the ships in the. In the fleet that showed.
All right. Yeah, basically it's just a R2-D2, but...
kind of squared off.
Yeah.
It's like they bought him on...
almost looks like they pieced his ass together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Hmm. Is this like sticky notes?
L337 from Solo started out as an astromech droid.
Oh, that is...
Okay.
And rebuilt herself.
Huh.
See?
Yeah. That's kind of dope.
Okay.
And right up there, you can see, there's the Ghost.
No
huh.
shit.
All right, that's really cool that they
All right.
Kind of tied it together. That's nice. Let's see, what else?
Yeah, Saw Gerrera originally appeared in the Clone Wars cartoon.
Huh. But yeah, no, I've...
Wow.
I'm glad they're kind of trying to do something good with the animated series, even with...
I am kind of looking forward to the Mandalorian, that show, directed by Jon Favreau.
Oh.
Iron Man 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Happy Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
And, I know you guys watch Game of Thrones.
I did.
The Prince Oberon or whatever, the Viper, when he, you know, famous for his splitting headache from the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing the title character.
Oh, in really?
Mandalorian.
Okay, I've seen that.
All right. Yeah. I'm down.
So... So I'm kind of actually looking forward to that.
Look that up.
I misspelled that, I know.
You misspelled that, sir.
Yes, I know. All right.
And there's some shots of it.
And then he's the one that's going to be playing?
Yeah, he's the one that's going to be the Mandalorian.
Okay.
Is that what his name is? Is it the Mandalorian?
Honestly, I don't know. I've been kind of staying away from... information on it.
Finding out.
It looks like he's like one of the. Looks like he very much goes along with the bounty hunters.
Boba Fett and Boba Jango. Fett and,
yeah.
Jango. Yeah, mm-hmm. Although technically they weren't Mandalorian.
No.
They just ganked the armor.
Yeah.
That's
interesting.
I'm excited.
What was her name? The silver stormtrooper.
Phasma?
Phasma. Yeah, I kept on remembering...
Game of Thrones, too.
Yeah, I kept on remembering them talking so much about how, like, they're going to do a lot with their character.
Brienne of Tarth.
Oh.
Like
Brienne the Beauty.
Yeah.
All right.
They're going to do so much more with the character, and then nothing ever happened with
her. Yeah, supposedly she was going to be the new Boba Fett.
Yeah, she was supposed to be a badass, and it's like, nope. Nothing. Okay.
I was like this, you know, in episode one... In a blink, if you miss her scene on the pod race, there's the white skin, bald, except for top knot, antenna sticking out of her head, bounty hunter, who's also supposed to become the next, you know, supposed to be badass, the next Boba Fett.
Nothing.
Of course.
In fact, she, you know, last time, you know, the only time she was even mentioned by name in, you know, any of the, you know, films or anything was in Solo when Beckett and Lando first meet up at the bar, and Lando says, well, I owe you a great deal of debt, that, you know, for killing her. And he's like, nah, I'm pretty sure the fall is what killed her.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it over here.
It was nice, but it was also kind of weird to see, like, the wrap up with Luke and Anakin's saber in the first movie whenever Rey gets it. It was nice to see that, but I also just... It did bring up a lot of good theories, like the one with her being on the sand planet with all the... it's right there. This is my thing, is like...
The Jawas?
Yeah. I'll remember something, but then...
You don't remember the Jawas?
No, but that's my thing. That's what I'm trying to explain. It's like, I have this thing where it's like, I'll remember something, and then the word disappears from my memory base. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's gone, it's like...
Yeah, we figured that out during challenges today.
Yeah, we were trying to remember guess Disney movies based on songs.
And old cartoons.
I kept on forgetting the names.
Oh. But. Speaking of Disney cartoons, we just watched Wreck-It Ralph, or Ralph Breaks the Internet.
I have seen that.
I haven't watched that.
Did you guys spot the Stan Lee cameo?
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet, and I'm really disappointed because I really want to see the Stan Lee cameo.
It was so beautiful.
Man.
And I think tomorrow we're probably going to watch Into the Spider-Verse.
Ooh, I need still to watch that.
There's, we rented it.
Emily, the wife and I just watched Incredible 2.
I just finished watching that as well. That was a good one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an easy one.
7 years worth waiting.
So apparently, this is just something I learned today.
None of them aged a day.
I know, right?
Captain Marvel will start out with a Stan Lee tribute in...
Really?
I'm gonna cry.
I'm gonna cry also.
Oh, I'm gonna cry like a baby. Don't worry.
I'm gonna be getting a tattoo in honor of Stanley. It's gonna be Excelsior in like comic book font with like one of the comic book explosions in the background with spider webs behind it.
Don't forget to put a shield in.
But no, it's speaking of Stanley.
He also has a cameo in the Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Yeah. I was heard a little disappointed in that. I was a little disappointed in that. That was
But yeah, there was supposed to be a bunch of Stanley Easter eggs and stuff. You know, not just actual, you know, recorded dialogue
Stanley.
With him.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I guess one scene's kind of not really a spoiler if you saw Venom in the theaters and watched the half post credit scene where it was like a 3 minute preview of Into the Spider-Verse when they've when Miles and unconscious Peter drop down on the sidewalk or whatever, and Miles all thanks New York. The guy stepping over him at that time is Stanley.
Yeah, I heard that Stanley had like several scenes within Into the Spider-Verse, and that was really nice to see.
I mean, yeah, because you gotta have multiple Stan Lees.
Yeah,
of course.
What do you guys think of the idea now that Disney owns Fox? So they've got rights to the X-Men and all related characters back in Fantastic Four.
Good ones.
What do you guys think of the idea of having Deadpool show up in every Marvel movie dressed up as Stan Lee in some way?
I've heard a lot of rumors on what they're going to do, but...
dressed up as Stan Lee.
Personally, I would like the idea of it being a cameo thing where he just shows up for that little bit. Because I don't want to see them taint Deadpool... By making
overexposure.
Well, not even just overexposure, but it's like turning him PG-13. It's like,
well, you don't have to have him say anything.
No, no. For a cameo, but
he's
like.
He's a time jumper and a fucking.
he breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah.
It'd be really nice. It would be.
He literally can travel between, like, different dimensions.
In fact, the latest issue of the Spider-Man Deadpool team up book thing that they got, they took away Deadpool's ability to break the fourth wall. And he is freaking the fuck out. He's all, webs, I can't see our readers anymore. Where'd they go? Can they even hear me?
So they took away his power of breaking the fourth wall by, and now he's breaking the fourth wall.
Alright, yeah.
But, he can't see himself breaking it.
But he knows we're still...
Yeah, he can't see the readers anymore.
That's great.
Take away the power, he still knows what the power is before.
So this has been something that comes up on every single podcast almost. And that is, now that Marvel owns all these properties, there's going to be recastings. Now that I actually have someone else here that can actually see... What I'm showing people is there's a couple people that I would like to see play the new Wolverine, because it's already been confirmed he will be getting recast.
Yeah.
Now one of them is the son of Clint Eastwood,
Scott Eastwood.
I feel like he could. There's a picture somewhere out there of him smoking a cigar, and it is. Did I miss it? Oh yeah. Well, that's one of them. There's another one where he's actually lighting the scar, but still, like, I can see. People have made some edits of what he would look like. That's one of the options. I'm trying to look for the better one. This. That's kind of a concept art of what he could look like as the Wolverine.
I mean, I can see it. It's
my thing. How tall is he?
I don't. Definitely not 5'3".
Yeah,
exactly. We're not going to find an actor to be 5'3".
Yeah, never know.
Another one, he's not... he's not a small person.
Mentioning Christian Kane. I was like, I can kind of see.
I can see that, too.
Somebody made a fan edit of what it would look like, too. I don't know if you've ever watched Leverage.
I've seen a few episodes here and there, but...
He plays that kind of character where he's like... He's a scary son of a bitch. Oh, this is the edit I was looking for the Scott Eastwood one, by the way. Is the original picture, or is the edit? It's not a whole lot of work to get that done. And it looks great. Those are the two people that I would like to see somewhat.
I mean, I can see either one.
I think they'd both be really good. But that's my own personal view, and, you know.
Yeah, did you know? Did you know that Hugh Jackman was not originally going to be playing Wolverine?
No, they originally wanted Danny DeVito.
Doug Ray Scott.
I didn't hear about that one.
He was in Mission, I think the first Mission Impossible. Mm-hmm. I think that was around the...
But no, I do know that I
Doug Ray Scott. Yeah, he was the... he was originally going to play him until he, like, broke his arm or something.
Yeah.
And so they ended up casting Hugh Jackman.
It is a good thing, too, because I don't know if we would have gotten this whole 20-year-long career of Wolverine if Doug Ray Scott had gotten the character. I don't know. He's a fine actor.
Like a bang, like Hugh Jackman.
He's a fine actor and all, but I just don't see it being Hugh Jackman's
Wolverine. Yeah, somebody can be a great actor, but there's parts that they just won't fit with.
It's like Ryan Reynolds with his Green Lantern movie, you know? Horrible.
You know, I didn't hate it.
No, but it was also... But,
you know, I didn't dislike it enough to walk up out of the movie theater.
Oh, no, definitely not. That would be X-Men Origins Wolverine.
I bought it because, you know, went ahead and bought it because, you know, wife and I, you know, kind of did, you know, slightly enjoy it.
It's not a bad movie.
I was not thrilled with some of the choices they made, especially like regarding Parallax.
Green Lantern? It's not a bad movie. It's just the CGI and some of the writing choices were bad, but it's not a horrible movie. It's something that if I had to, I would watch again, but it's not something I would choose to, personally.
We have soap in there. You want to wash it? Anyways. Your mouth out?
No, because the absolute worst movie would be X-Men Origins Wolverine, and every single choice they made in that movie, every single one.
That was Deadpool.
Yeah, that was a horrible treatment of Deadpool.
Have soap in there if you need to wash out your mouth.
But yeah, no, and like ever since that movie, like Ryan Reynolds was pushing them to redeem the character, because that was not the character, and I love that. That's how good of an actor he is, and how much he loves that
Green Lantern. I think I heard a rumor that
we're supposed to be
the next Green Lantern is actually going to be John Stewart Green Lantern.
Yeah,
and not another.
Depending on what age they're going to go for, I've got a personal choice.
No, it can't be Sam Jackson.
No,
he's already Nick Fury.
But we did just lose a black actor.
Guy from Luther.
Yeah, Luther, and he plays Heimdall in Marvel, where he played Heimdall. Now that he's dead,
he's opened up. Hero.
And if they go for like an older, grizzled John Stewart, I think Idris Elba would be great.
Not even then, he doesn't really look that old.
No, he doesn't.
And he fits the
look. Hold on. Fat fingers.
Oh, he was in the Dark Tower.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. But yeah, these are some of the
Gunslinger or something like that.
Here we go. Mm. There's a more modern picture of
that. Wasn't just the Gunslinger. They like took bits and pieces of each and every book and they smashed it into one goddamn movie, which they should.
I didn't actually watch it. Wife was watching it. I was like, whatever. So I think, I think it was at the time I was. Hadn't gotten my CPAP machine yet, so I wasn't sleeping very good at night.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be sitting there talking to, you know, sitting there, be talking, and I'll be right in the middle of a... And I would pass the fuck out right then. I'd be out for like 20 minutes.
Damn.
And I'd wake up and didn't realize anything was wrong.
Oh, gosh, he actually posted this, too. Mm-hmm. So it looks like he might be gunning for the role, too,
if he's
possible for it. It looks like he might gun for it. That's kind of cool. But anyway, so even if they don't go with Jon Stewart, I do have a choice for Howard Orton again. But no, if it's Jon Stewart, I'd like to see Idris Elba, but if it's Hal Jordan, Dan Amboyer seems like he'd be a good fit. And, like, there's a picture of him in studio... Wearing, it's not a pilot jacket, but it has a very similar aesthetic to an aviator jacket.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I can see that.
I think it would
at least as a Hal Jordan. I don't know how he'd look as a Green Lantern.
Yeah. I don't know either. And there's not really any, I mean, that's kind of an edit, but it's not a good one. They've got some poor choices on editing styles, but I think he could fit the role personally. Of course, there's other actors, too, but
there we go. That's the best one right there.
No, right here. Look, get out. Right here.
That's yeah, that's great.
That's right.
But anyways,
and then they don't make the damn super soups animated
or green.
Green or animated.
We're good.
And then another acting choice is for Sinestro to be Luke Evans. I've seen a lot of edits of what he would look like.
I can see that.
Sinestro, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a very fitting face for the role. You know, so I think he could work, and a lot of people agree, obviously. They've got a lot of edits of this. But yeah, so...
Let's just... if we're talking about bad movies...
pretty much anything DC really puts out nowadays.
Let's talk about Batman versus Superman.
Martha!
Why did you say the name? That was my mom's name! Whew.
You guys were friends.
I don't have to kill you now.
So my problem with DC, and I say this every time we bring it up, is... They're trying too hard, too fast to do what Marvel's done.
Yeah.
Marvel took years and built up characters and, you know, after years of building up, finally made a team movie.
Oh, yeah. I was fucking, you know, I was over the fucking moon when they finally announced Avengers.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That first teaser trailer, you know, I went hunting for screen caps and the longest time my wallpaper was that shot of them in the forest after they got done in Germany, coming back from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Cap had joined in and Thor, you know, whacking the hammer on the shield.
Oh.
And they're all walking back together. That was my friggin' wallpaper for the longest damn time.
Yeah.
And you know, like, shit, Marvel,
now, my
ringtone right now is the theme, Avengers theme.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, like, Marvel took years to build up their franchise and make it something that fans want to see. DC was like, no, we got to do what they did, but faster. We got to make the team up right now. Don't build up.
We'll just base this off of, you know, start with Man of Steel will be the launching point for this new, you know, expanded universe.
And then
Batman versus Superman. And then Justice League.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So,
not impressed.
Speaking of Suicide Squad,
I don't think
I love Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for besides the obvious reason,
I just
she played Nutsy pretty friggin' well.
I
just wanted to have Jared
Leto
by the Joker.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure if I'm gonna.
I can probably get him a smile.
Joaquin Phoenix, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know.
I have heard something, and I'm going to give it a chance, because we've seen this thing where actors play a role in one comic book franchise, and they
redeem themselves.
Jared Leto is about to play Morbius.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as he does a better fucking job than he did as Joker.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Ben Affleck, you know, kind of tanked Daredevil.
Oh,
but actually, I think he was really good.
He was
all right.
Okay. I thought he was it's, good Batman
in,
as well.
In the two movies, he's
some
Batman.
People talk
Ben
shit,
Affleck was
like, dude.
I thought he was a great Batman, but I want to go back to that Daredevil movie though. I
enjoyed it.
Okay, it's a great movie.
Yeah,
it's a good movie, but that's not Daredevil. That's none of the characters from Daredevil either. I don't know where they pulled these characters from, but those aren't the characters from the comics.
None of you.
It's like I love Michael Clark Duncan as an actor.
From Daredevil.
Huh? Oh, no, I know that the character names and everything, they're from Daredevil.
Not the way a lot of them were written.
No, they weren't portrayed to be the characters.
Yeah,
like, Michael Clark Duncan, he was a great actor, it rests his soul.
Yeah.
Like, he was a wonderful actor. But he is not Wilson Fisk.
No, Wilson, you know, while, you know, they say, well, you know, that's not necessarily fat, that, you know, it's all muscle, but he just looks fat.
He's fat.
He's got blood around him.
Yeah, like, whatever, you know.
Now, the Daredevil in
the TV show.
I still need to get off my ass and check that out.
Okay, so here's the thing.
I like that.
I also want to check out Jessica Jones. I've heard good stuff about that.
So, here's my thing. Daredevil, throughout all the seasons, was great. Jessica Jones, the first season was amazing, and then the second season was just lackluster. For me personally, Iron Fist was a great show. A lot of people probably wouldn't like it just because it's not solely focused on his Iron Fist abilities. It's more focused on his outside life. Mm-hmm. I personally liked it, but let me show you the Kingpin. Yeah, this
is Vince Vaughn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No, no, this isn't Vince Vaughn. It's
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah, D'Onofrio, yeah.
D'Onofrio, however the hell you pronounce his name.
But yeah.
That is Kingpin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I loved the actors they chose. They were all
not
great actors.
Not morbidly obese.
But he's big. But he's
still, you know, big and intimidating looking.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And they got the white coat.
White suit.
But, you know, and there's Michael Clark Duncan. It's just... But anyway, so back to what I was saying, though, is like... And then Luke Cage, great. All the way up until the very last episode. The very last episode just irritates the hell out of me. And it's because they had this whole, like, arc of him being this good guy who, like, you know, he's unmovable in his heroics, you know. He is a good guy. And then at the end of the series... He becomes like this. They were going to continue it on to where he redeems himself at the end of like the next season or something. But for the end of the series, they made him like some weird king. Like they made him Kingpin almost with the Harlem area. And it's like, what?
Really?
It hell? Was dumb and I didn't like it. But Netflix's Punisher?
Yeah, I've heard good things about that.
I have
too.
Been. I have.
Except nobody really cares for the. How they're doing Jigsaw.
I don't like how they did Jigsaw either, but I do think that everything else... that is the only flaw that I saw in the show, personally. And this is somebody that was going into it kind of uneasy, because I didn't like who they chose to play the Punisher. I didn't like John Bernthal, and it's just because like I saw him in The Walking Dead, and I just didn't find his acting to be all that good. But when I watched the Punisher, oh, that was... Redeemed. Amazing. Yeah. Absolutely.
I did like
by far.
The first one they did, first movie they did with Tom Jane.
Yeah.
That I was, liked that one. I still have yet to see Warzone.
I
have it rented, but I haven't
you know the great thing,
gotten around to watching it yet. Just what? Like I've got, I think I've got both of the Ghost Riders rented. And but I you know, obviously you've seen the first one.
The first one's great.
Wasn't too bad.
Second one.
Second
the
one
next
gets...
one, I still haven't seen Spirit of Vengeance yet either. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They
went off the rails with that one.
Yeah.
They both jumped the shark.
But, oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I've heard not good things about either of those, either Warzone or Spirit of Vengeance.
The thing about, like, Warzone.
Okay.
The thing about, like, Warzone, and even the Tom Jane movies is, like, they were definitely going for a more exaggerated version of the Punisher. Because, like, even in the comics, like, he's still a human.
Yeah.
And even if he's kicking ass, he's still getting just as punished.
Yeah.
And they didn't really show that in either movie. They just made him, like, this god of war. And, like, even with the Tom Jane one, where he still got messed up, but, like, there's this one scene where he's wearing, like, a bulletproof vest, and then point-blank range, someone shoots him with a shotgun, and it does nothing. And, you know, it's movie magic, but in this, like...
It wasn't in the script.
Yeah. But then, like, in this, in the Netflix Punisher, they try and go for a more realistic version of what the comic book character was.
Is he still, like, a war veteran?
Yeah. It's just they updated him a little bit. Now he's from Afghanistan instead of Vietnam. So they did update a lot him.
Although that would be interesting to see.
One thing that I was disappointed in...
I mean...
An age-appropriate Punisher from, you know, serving in Vietnam, still running around on the streets...
I
popping
mean,
caps
hey.
And taking names.
Hell yeah.
He must have some good lotion.
Good lotion.
So it's kind of interesting.
Well, Buffalo Bill had it right. Takes the lotion, puts it on his skin, or gets the hose again.
Mm-hmm.
Got to keep his skin.
It was the hose that was the key. It wasn't the lotion.
Oh, yeah. The cold water getting
uh-huh.
dumped in.
Uh-huh.
So this was great because, like, keeps obviously we have the Daredevil suit, right? In they have that in the show. But then in Jessica Jones, they show her hero suit, but, like, she doesn't want to wear it. But it was still just it was a nice little Easter egg to show what the suit would look like, because it doesn't really adapt well into the live action. And then, obviously, you know, Luke Cage is pretty easy. All you need is a bright yellow shirt, and there you go. And they did that.
But at least they didn't go with the Afro tiara.
Yeah.
Open shirt.
They put that
Come
as a little
on,
Easter
I
egg,
love
too.
That one.
When he escaped prison...
Jeff,
that's what he looked like. He had the whole, like, torn open yellow shirt and, like, the crown and the afro. They had the look, but that was literally just long enough for him to escape. So it was kind of like a little shout-out moment. And then Iron Fist did the same thing where it was a little shout-out where it goes back into his past and it shows him wearing the yellow mask and white suit as a training thing. They didn't show it after that at all, but it was, again, another little shout-out. Frank Castle's Punisher was a bit more interesting, because, like, at the beginning of the show, he's burning up. He's destroying the bulletproof vest with the skull on it, because he's done what he had to do.
And we're running out of time.
We'll start a second one, because we got a lot more. All right, so we will be uploading two podcasts tonight. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this one up, and then start a new one. See you guys here in about another hour. Bye!